We are young today, and precious time is ours to borrow. We won't let it slip away. We are young today, let's be young tomorrow.
Welcome to the Staying Young Show. This is Judy, and I'm here with Dr. Mark Anderson and Dr. Walter Gammon. We're the authors of the book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, and also the authors of the book Age to Perfection, How to Thrive to 100, Happy, Healthy, and Wise. And we're the voices of Executive Medicine of Texas. Each week on the Staying Young Show, we bring you information that you can use. If you miss a week or want to share something you heard on the show, go to iTunes.com and search the Staying Young Show. And you can download all the past shows there for free. There's lots of them, and we're super excited because we have seen these downloads from around the world, and we're happy to be bringing health information to you in all different countries, and just want to wish all of you a good, healthy life. And today we've decided to get on a soapbox that probably is a little more in tune to our American listeners, but we're on the soapbox of healthcare reform. And there's so much to talk about here, and there's a number of changes that are coming to healthcare. Some of these are good, some of them maybe not so great, and we're going to sort some of this out for you. But later this hour, we're going to have Steve Jacob on with us, and he's the author of the book Healthcare in 2020, where uncertain reform, bad habits, too few doctors, and skyrocketing costs are taking us. And I'm excited to talk to him. He's also I think he's like editor of D Magazine, and he also has done a bunch of stuff with the Dallas Morning News. He's got like 30 years in journalism and knows his stuff, so I'm excited that he's coming on the show. But before we move on and talk about some of these things, we can't talk about reform without talking to you, Dr. Gammon, about your experience when you were in Canada, and just share some of your experiences with listeners, because I know they're interested in, you know, we hear a lot of the Canadian system, the American system, and it's not exactly the same, but some interesting things happened to you, both good and bad, when you were practicing under socialized medicine.
Right. I mean, socialized medicine, first of all, is not like the Affordable Care Act coming into the United States. These are two entirely different items. Of course, a lot of people point to the cost containments in Canada as something that should be emulated in the U.S., and there's good and bad in that as well. So, good things about socialized medicine: all pregnant women didn't have to worry about any costs. Doctors could focus on getting the healthiest baby they could without worrying about the expense of whatever needs to be done. Children all got their shots, all covered by socialized medicine. These are good things. The elderly are fairly well taken care of. These are all good things under socialized medicine. Now, what's bad, of course, is care is rationed. And even up to 2 years ago, the federal government in Canada came out with a big initiative to decrease the length of time for elective surgery. So,
elective surgery, let's define that for...
Elective meaning not an immediate life and death situation requiring emergency surgery.
But it could be gallbladder.
Yes, and in fact, gallbladder disease, which can give pain and can become an emergency, was one area they focused on, and they were trying to reduce the length of time to have your gallbladder removed from 18 months to 12 months. That's right, 18 months to 12 months. And they failed. They were unable to reduce that time to a year. So people have to suffer a long time with recurrent pains, and a lot of them wind up in the emergency room requiring emergency surgery, which, of course, is very much more expensive.
Well, and one thing is you always talk about is lost productivity, because a lot of that time, those people are on disability while waiting to get their surgery.
That's right. They could be on disability, unemployment insurance, all sorts of other things that cost a lot of money, but of course doesn't come out of the pot of money designated for socialized medicine. One other good thing in Canada, which is frustrated by the rationing of care and waiting a long time, is that the primary care physicians really run the system. Here in the U.S., one of the issues is specialists are so expensive. They order very exotic tests, a lot of times not necessary, and it becomes very expensive. So in the U.S., if primary care could run the show more, everybody knows that will save money.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we definitely need to pay attention to right there. Okay, we got to go to Doc Shock. Doc Shock is something that is in the news that we find fascinating. So I love this. This actually came out. I mean, this is like hot off the press. New news. So in a laboratory, preclinical study recently published in the Journal of Organic and Molecular Chemistry, the Virginia Commonwealth University Massey Cancer Center researchers found that if they combine structures from an anti-nausea drug, thalidomide, which many of you remember because it did have some side effects, which we'll talk about in a minute, with a common kitchen spice, turmeric, which we use as an anti-inflammatory, they actually are able to create a hybrid molecule that effectively kills multiple myeloma cells. So this is what is so important about this is we are realizing that sometimes mixing the two sides, the medicine and then the herbal side of it together can have great things. And thalidomide was, many of you may remember, was introduced in 1950s for an anti-nausea for pregnant women, but they found it caused birth defects. But they still use it, just not in pregnant women.
Well, and it's all still used for leprosy.
I didn't know that.
So now it's time for the Immortal Minute. Today, in keeping with the topic, we've got a report out that shows that the later that one works into their life, the less likely they are to develop dementia, which isn't a surprise. We tell people all the time, you got to keep exercising your brain. And so a study that was done and published in Boston there showed that people who at older age of retirement associated with a significantly decreased risk of developing dementia. And as we continue to be successful in extending people's longevity through medicinal ways, it's going to be at least find a second career, if not stick with that first one longer, but find something you enjoy to do and do it for a long time.
And keep your spouse healthy, because, you know, if you're married to someone who smokes or drinks or does something unhealthy, then you don't want to outlive them and start all over. So that's another little tip out there. You take care of yourself, but you know what? Take care of your spouse and your kids, because you don't want you don't want to outlive your kids, right? Is that where your kids die first? Yeah. So take good care of your kids. I want to give you the website emtexas.com and the phone number 1-800-910-3932. You're going to need that number later as we give you the Dementia Defender. But we got to go to short break. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to have our guest, Steve Jacob, who's the author of Healthcare in 2020. Are you looking to grow your business or drive people to your website? This is a rare opportunity. If you'd like to advertise on the Staying Young Show, that's right, run commercials during our show, you can contact us at 1-800-910-3932, 1-800-910-3932. The best way to attract new customers is to go to people who are already interested in health and wellness. That's right, advertising on the Staying Young Show will help drive customers to your business. Call us today at 1-800-910-3932.
All advertising must be pre-approved by the Stay Young Media Group.
Are you tired of the 10-minute exam? Does your doctor have one hand on the door just waiting to leave? We're dedicated to our patients and know that it takes time and attention to get their health where it needs to be. Learn more about the Executive Medicine of Texas Executive Physical Program and the yearly concierge package at emtexas.com or call 800-910-EXEC. That's 800-910-3932. Don't put your health off any longer. You're too valuable.
This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. When people see my face and they compare it to my headshot a year ago, they always ask the same question. What have you done and why do you look so much younger? Well, on the Staying Young Show, we stay on top of the latest and greatest medical advancements, and that's how we heard about the newest technology on anti-aging, and that's stem cell cream that's made from non-embryonic human stem cells. It's made by a company called Lifeline Skincare, and they actually work only and exclusively with stem cells. Now, stem cells cause your skin to produce young, healthy skin cells and replace the older, damaged ones. Within just 3 to 4 weeks, you'll see your skin looking smoother, brighter, and younger, just like mine. Now you can learn about this fantastic breakthrough by calling 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. That's 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you to advice on sex and your health. The book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger, and no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit stayyoungthebook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting stayyoungthebook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932. Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300. Or visit stayyoungvitamins.com. Welcome back to the Staying Young Show, the voices of executive medicine of Texas. If you're just tuning in, every segment of the show is featured on iTunes as a free download. Just go to iTunes.com and search the Staying Young Show. Now, at the end of our shows, we have a riddle called Dementia Defender. That's right. We're defending dementia. We're keeping you from getting Alzheimer's, or at least we're trying to. And if you send us the correct answer and explanation to the riddle, and we read your name on the air, then you can get a copy, a free copy of the book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. So write down EM Texas, Texas is spelled out, emtexas.com, or the phone number 1-800-910-3932. So we're really on our soapbox today, people, because the topic is the future of healthcare. And our guest today is Steve Jacob. He's the author of the book Healthcare in 2020, where uncertain reform, bad habits, too few doctors, and skyrocketing costs are taking us. Welcome on the show.
Thank you so much, Judy. I'm honored to be here.
Well, let's first talk about, why did you write this book? I mean, what was your inspiration? Why are you so concerned? You know, you got 30 years as a journalist, so, you know, what really piqued your interest on this topic?
Well, what generated my interest was I had been writing an awful lot about the Affordable Care Act before it was passed. And what bugged me more and more was I felt like this was not really health reform. It was really just health insurance reform. And I thought the more overriding issue was health care costs. So as I started researching this, I sort of started talking more and more to people and interviewing folks about this. And then as I started writing it, it turns out about half the book is really kind of related to the things you talk about here on your show, that probably about the first half of the book deals with health behavior and the implications of what that does to you. In other words, the healthiest 50% of Americans only spend 3% of the healthcare dollars. So for most people, healthcare, or for many people, healthcare is very, very expensive. But it's, and you'll hear a lot of scary things about how you know, how much health care is going to cost a given household. But if you're going to be able to dodge this if you have the right health behaviors and really look out for yourself.
So does that lead us towards a two-tiered system like UK and other countries have, where that top 50% that's only accounting for 3% could actually come back to buy insurance that's relatively inexpensive because they're not insuring the unhealthy, and the other half ends up falling into the a nationalized healthcare system?
Well, that very well could happen. I don't know that politically the United States is ready for that, but I think more likely what's going to happen is that because the healthy are going to be subsidizing the unhealthy through, broadly based insurance premiums, I think at some point, and particularly because of the pervasiveness of consumer-directed health care plans, more and more people are going to feel the sting of health care costs. And I think at some point we will end up with a system that is, probably government run or a universal healthcare system, probably about 10 years from now. But springing out of that will be a two-tiered healthcare system. I think that you'll have sort of this government run kind of healthcare system, and then you'll have sort of this, higher level treatment, maybe kind of a concierge system. And I think that's inevitably kind of where we're headed for that, because again, it just came out yesterday that insurance premiums went up about 4%, which was the lowest in a long, long time. But it's still, compare that to the fact that the consumer price index is only going up 1%.
And I have to dispute that 4% number, because we have a business with 150 employees. Ours was scheduled to go up 25%. I think we negotiated down to, 15% increase? So, somebody out there got a heck of a deal.
I wonder where that 4% comes from.
Because everybody I've talked to, nobody's had business owners have seen a single-digit increase this year.
Well, I think the smaller the business, the more that's going to be the case. I think whoever did this survey, and I think this is a survey of larger companies, and I think that's where that percentage increase came. It's done by the Kaiser Family Foundation. And so they do this every year, but I think my guess is their survey is heavily weighted toward large employers and large self-insured employers.
Now, I read a white paper on the insurances that are going to come out of the exchanges. Mm-hmm. And, I think I and a lot of people were under the impression, well, people will buy insurance through these exchanges, and the insurances will cover things well, and they'll reimburse doctors at their usual rates. But this white paper said that isn't going to be the case, that doctors are going to be reimbursed very little, perhaps less than Medicare rates, and a lot of things won't be covered. Pap smears won't be covered so frequently, mammograms, PSAs. What's your sense on that?
I would tend to agree with that white paper. I think a lot of people have the impression that, as kind of an unfounded impression, that this is going to be sort of Medicare-type coverage and very affordable. I think that in order to keep the rates very affordable, they had to do a couple of things. Number one is they're going to be pretty Spartan plans. They're not going to cover a lot of things. And the other thing they're going to do is have fairly narrow networks, so that a lot of these insurance companies are coming up with these products to put on the exchanges where they'll accept or will include providers who are willing to accept lower rates. So I think in order to keep the thing affordable, this is going to be fairly Spartan insurance. So I think I would agree with the white paper in that respect. At this point, we really don't know until they actually reveal these things in the next few months, but I would tend to agree with that.
Well, let's talk about the things that we're seeing happen, and I know Sanjay Gupta's really jumped on some of this stuff, where they've come out and now they're saying, oh, you don't need a pap smear, you don't really need a PSA, you don't really need a mammogram. It's like they're trying to knock down...
President Bush doesn't need a stent placed.
Yeah. I mean, they're really coming out and saying, you don't need this, you don't need that, but it's really reminiscent of what did happen in some of the other countries. We were talking about Canada earlier, where they actually changed the guidelines. Once the government was paying for it, they suddenly decided what an acceptable death rate was, or what was okay to not pay for, and it changes everything. Who's paying for it changes everything.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it. I think what you're referring to is the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, that reviews guidelines on a lot of these procedures fairly frequently, and they decide then they issue guidelines based on what they think is credible evidence. So I think in the case of mammograms, I think what they did was raise the age from, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I think they raised it from 40. Age 40 to age 50.
Right. Start mammos at age 50.
But they consider the financial impact. It isn't pure science. I think that's a big thing. Most people think, well, they're just following pure scientific guidelines. That isn't it. They're also looking at what they call life years and what the cost of those life years
right,
are.
That's the denominator. What's a life year worth?
No, they claim that they don't, but I'm not sure that that's really the case, because again, you know, what you're looking at, or there's a statistic that they look at in the medicine, what they call number needed to treat, which is, for example, if you do a specific procedure like a mammogram or whatever if you do 200, you'll save the life of one person, but not the other 199. So they often look at those kinds of things, and I think so. But the European countries look very specifically at these, and they call it CEA, which is, I forget what that stands for, but basically they're looking at the cost effectiveness of given procedures and how long they're going to extend life. I do a lot of speaking, and I'll have people come up to me from European countries, and they'll say, you know, you can't believe how well people over 65 are treated in this country when it comes to health care, because back where I come from, once you hit 65, they don't care about you.
Well, that's pretty much Canada. I mean, you can't get certain procedures if you're over 65. I mean, they just say, sorry, you're too old. 65, are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, the seniors have a lot of political power in this country, so I'm not sure that's
that's right.
But, I think that's a big difference. And obviously, the biggest disease factor or risk factor for anybody's health is age. So as you age, you just naturally acquire these chronic conditions, and that's when you need the health care most. And, in some of these other countries, you can't get it.
Well, I think this is a big thing that we're talking about, because not just the cost, the politics of it all, but just really the life years and what those life years look like. We're going to talk about this more coming up, where we're going to talk about it's not just the number of years, but it's the quality of those years. We're visiting today with Steve Jacob, who is the author of Healthcare in 2020, and this is a great topic for our listeners. If you haven't been to the website, emtexas.com, be sure to go there. And also, I want to give you a phone number, 1-800-910-3932. We got to go to short break. Stay tuned, because coming up, what's up with the shortage of doctors and nurses? You're going to want to know. You're listening to the Stay Young Show. Don't go away.
If you suffer from digestive disorders, migraines, obesity, chronic fatigue, joint pain, or a foggy brain, the answer may be found in the foods you eat. Everyone has a different tolerance to foods. The ALCAT test can look for food sensitivities and helps provide you with a roadmap for your personalized nutrition. Blood test, taken in the office, can simply change your life or the life of someone you know. Isn't it time to feel the best that you can? Call 817-552-4300 now to arrange for the ALCAT test. The ALCAT can measure everything from foods, additives, colorings, to chemicals and medicinal herbs that you may be sensitive to. Stop guessing where your symptoms are coming from and start getting information. No matter where you live, arrangements can be made for you to get the answers you need. Call 817-552-4300 today or visit emtexas.com. 817-552-4300 or visit emtexas.com.
Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300. Or visit StayYoungVitamins.com.
This is Dr. Mark Anderson of Executive Medicine Texas, co-host of the Staying Young Show. Do you have a lack of stamina? Has your sex drive decreased? If so, you could have a vitamin or hormone deficiency, and these symptoms should be taken seriously. Some centers focus solely on the testosterone deficiency and miss other important factors. The Executive Medicine of Texas Vitality Profile includes a thorough physical exam, extensive lab tests, and a review of personal and family history as we look for sources of your symptoms. Schedule your Vitality Profile at Executive Medicine of Texas today by calling 800-910-3932 or visit us on the web at emtexas.com. Again, 800-910-3932 or visit us at the web, emtexas.com.
Have you had health issues that no one has been able to figure out? Often we see patients that have been from doctor to doctor with no real answers. If you have symptoms such as fatigue, lack of focus, anxiety, or sleeplessness, it may be due to a lack of micronutrients. Science now allows us to look inside the cell to see if you have the proper nutrition your body needs. Schedule your micronutrient testing at emtexas.com or call 1-800-910-EXEC. Get your life back by calling 800-910-3932 and schedule your micronutrient testing today.
Are you tired of the 10-minute exam? Does your doctor have one hand on the door just waiting to leave? We're dedicated to our patients and know that it takes time and attention to get their health where it needs to be. Learn more about the Executive Medicine of Texas Executive Physical Program and the yearly concierge package at emtexas.com or call 800-910-EXEC. That's 800-910-3932. Don't put your health off any longer. You're too valuable.
Welcome back to the Staying Young Show, the voices of Executive Medicine of Texas. And if you haven't gone to the website emtexas.com, that's emtexas spelled out .com, be sure to go there because there's lots of great information. And if you are on Facebook, go to Facebook and search Executive Medicine of Texas because every day there's a new health tip that's on there. Now, later this hour, we'll be giving you the Dementia Defender Riddle of the Day. So you'll want to write down that website, emtexas.com, and the phone number 1-800-910-3932. You ready? 1-800-910-3932. Because that's where you're going to submit your answer and explanation for a chance to win a free copy of the book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. Now, today we're talking about the future of healthcare and what's going on in the healthcare system. And we're visiting with our guest, Steve Jacob. He is the author of the book, Healthcare in 2020. And great stuff here. We got to talk about this topic. And I know, Steve, that you got a lot to say about this. And that is the cost of drugs and the research and development that goes into that, bringing them to market and making sure they're safe, and how healthcare reform is going to really impact the R&D on drugs.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think really what you're looking at, and I'm not so sure, the Affordable Care Act probably doesn't impact the pharmaceutical industry as much as it does some of the other aspects of healthcare. But I think more and more what we're finding is the R&D spent by pharmaceutical companies is the what used to be called the blockbuster model, which was creating a drug. A novel drug for a chronic condition like diabetes or COPD or some other, pervasive condition. That business model is kind of broken. So now more and more pharmaceutical companies are doing what you might call more me too drugs, which is sort of tweaking what's already out there on the market. And so as they do that, and they don't see the business case for it, they're putting less and less into research and development. So I think just like a lot of industries, the pharmaceutical industry is trying to remake itself, and there's a lot of really big, a lot of these blockbuster drugs and very profitable drugs that are going off patent.
I mean, it strikes me as they're not so much research oriented as they're commodities right now. I mean, they're just coming out of commodities, and with the change in the health plan, more people will be covered, get seen by physicians, get diagnosed with chronic conditions, and they can sell more of their products, not necessarily that big blockbuster one, but just, you know, if you sell more of what you've already got, you know, even if the margins are lower, your overall profits go up. But, you know, it drives the question is, physicians, what about physician availability? We're primary care. We're already short. What are they going to do with us?
Well, and, you know, God bless you, primary care physicians. You're absolutely right about the shortage of primary care physicians. It's silly that we're in this country that we wring our hands over this primary care shortage, yet we do not pay or reimburse primary care doctors more to attract more med students into primary care. I mean, it's really just supply and demand. One of the sort of the key reason, or it was a couple key reasons, I think, but the key reason I think for the primary care shortage, and then maybe to a lesser extent some of the specialties, is the fact that we have not increased graduate medical education slots. That's you know, for your listeners, med students, if you want to become a doctor, go to medical school for 4 years, and then you've got to serve a residency for 3 years, and that's called graduate medical education. And even though we have increased the number of med students, we're on track to increase them by 30%. We had not increased the number of graduate medical education slots. So really, all we're doing is creating more med students, but we're not creating more doctors without increasing those GME slots. So that's where the hang-up is right now. And that was supposed to be part of the Affordable Care Act, and that did not happen. So at this point, we're going to have a whole lot more med students competing for these GME slots, but we're not creating more doctors, and that's a big problem. And then on top of that, primary care, more and more of these med students are going into specialties because they pay more and they have more predictable hours than primary care. So primary care is going to become tougher and tougher to find, and it's when, you know, at a time when we need it more and more and more.
You know, and it's so ironic, President Obama and many of the federal officials over and over say we need more primary care physicians, yet there's no national will by the government to have a national strategy on having the GME slots, you know, increase towards primary care, changing the reimbursement towards primary care. Instead, their attitude is, well, we'll develop more nurse practitioners. Now, nurse practitioners are great. I employ them myself, but, you know, they're not doctors. They need doctors to supervise them, and it's sort of a really ignorant approach to this. It's just mind-boggling. And by the way, as an aside, President Obama's alma mater, Harvard Medical School, did away with all their primary care residencies. They don't have any primary care residencies. It's just mind-boggling.
They don't have OB-GYN?
No, they're just subspecialties now.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I did a story for a website, D Healthcare Daily, that talks about exactly that, where most of a lot of the like you talk about Harvard Medical School and where these GME slots are, most of them and most of the money goes toward specialty GME slots, and we're not funding the primary care slots. The other thing that I think is huge that's going to add to this shortage. I am working on a second book right now, and it's about the fact that the solo practitioners or the small practices are melting away. The working title is "So Long, Marcus Welby."
Great title.
Thank you. You know, what I'm finding,
it's age specific though. You got a whole group out there that have no clue who Marcus Welby is.
I was just going to mention that if you're south of age 35, you have no idea who I'm talking about. So But yeah, I just got to have a much better subtitle. But anyway, and I'm doing this in conjunction with the Physicians Foundation, but more and more you can tell that, you know, the more doctors I've been talking to for this book, and they're saying things like, yeah, I'm making about, in particular primary care, I'm making about half of what I did about 3 or 5 years ago, but, you know, that's okay because my kids are gone and blah, blah, blah. There's a whole lot more doctors who are just fed up with it, and their practice expenses are going up just like everything else in healthcare, yet their reimbursement from the government and the insurance companies has been flat. So that is a death knell.
We talk about it's not just, you know, the reimbursements haven't kept up with inflation to pay the light bill and the supplies, mm-hmm. et cetera, but the amount of regulatory requirements for HIPAA and OSHA, and, you know, it's all this alphabet soup and acronyms that we have to keep up with. There is no feasible way that a doc could hang a shingle and be able to cover all those bases and still have time to see patients. So, I mean, yeah. You're going to have to be part of a group to be able to do that and have the information technology systems necessary to function.
Yeah, I have one chapter on the administrative burden that doctors face. And, you know, that's exactly what you're talking about. The other thing is I also have a chapter on lack of autonomy. More and more physicians, you know, back when, Marcus Welby pretty much ran his own shop, he could do pretty much whatever he wanted to do. But now, because of all this administrative burden, the fact that you're sort of put into a box financially, the physicians are really limited in terms of what they can do, and this is not what they went into practice for.
Which begs the question now, then you open up the concierge, or we kind of refer to it, doesn't we have the concierge, you know, retail medicine, where you're outside of those restrictions.
Well, and I want to make a point about this whole, you know, what happens, because a lot of people don't understand. They say, oh, it's so expensive to go to the doctor. And this is what happens. You go to the doctor, they have a set fee. They check the box, and then it goes to the billing department. Then the billing department has to put it into the computer and send it electronically to the insurance company. Then the insurance company looks to make sure the codes are right, and they haven't changed the codes because they change the codes all the time as a way to deflect payment. And then they reduce the fee because they're under a fee reduction. And then usually it takes anywhere from 30 to 60, sometimes 90 days to collect, unless you have to go back and refile. So the cost of collecting when you take insurance is astronomical. A major portion of that bill your doctor gives you actually goes to pay the people who have to chase after the insurance companies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Roughly 8%.
Yeah. And I'm surprised it's not even
more. Yeah, I think it's higher than that.
Well,
I think it's 13.
That's just somewhere in there, but I mean, it depends on the specialty and how many bills you're filing. Primary care is higher because we have a higher volume of claims versus a surgical specialist that has a much fewer number of claims.
Right, and they're usually doing the same thing over and over. But, I mean,
there is, I'm profiled three Oregon doctors in this book who have opened not concierge practices, but they call them micro practices, where they simply, they accept a limited amount of insurance. They don't do any government insurance.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that when we come back. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us, Steve Jacob, author of Healthcare in 2020. We got to go to a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about concierge medicine and how you can get better healthcare. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. You can start feeling the effects of hormone changes as early as 30 years of age. And if you're a man or a woman with symptoms of fatigue, loss of stamina, lack of concentration, or a dwindling sex drive, then you may be the perfect candidate for bioidentical hormone therapy. Forget the shots or messy creams. At Executive Medicine of Texas, we offer BioT, bioidentical hormone therapy pellets that are more effective and more convenient. If you're ready to get back to a more youthful version of you, call us today at 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com. Again, that's 817-552-4300 or on the web at emtexas.com. You can have an increased sex drive, more stamina, and a leaner version of you. Just call 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com.
Have you had health issues that no one has been able to figure out? Often we see patients that have been from doctor to doctor with no real answers. If you have symptoms such as fatigue, lack of focus, anxiety, or sleeplessness, it may be due to a lack of micronutrients. Science now allows us to look inside the cell to see if you have the proper nutrition your body needs. Schedule your micronutrient testing at emtexas.com or call 1-800-910-EXEC. Get your life back by calling 800-910-3932 and schedule your micronutrient testing today.
Are you tired of the 10-minute exam? Does your doctor have one hand on the door just waiting to leave? We're dedicated to our patients and know that it takes time and attention to get their health where it needs to be. Learn more about the Executive Medicine of Texas Executive Physical Program and the yearly concierge package at emtexas.com or call 800-910-EXEC. That's 800-910-3932. Don't put your health off any longer. You're too valuable.
Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300 or visit stayyoungvitamins.com.
Do you have symptoms that have gone unexplained despite previous evaluations? Sometimes as a physician, our job is to be a detective. Luckily, modern medicine allows us now to see things at even the smallest level, the cellular level. Micronutrient deficiencies can cause various symptoms. Everything from fatigue, leg pains, headaches, decreased sexual desire. Call Executive Medicine of Texas today at 817-552-4300 and schedule a micronutrient test. Many symptoms can be explained by these nutritional deficiencies. You can also find a chart that details the different deficiencies and the common symptoms associated with those on our website at emtexas.com. That number again at Executive Medicine of Texas, 817-552-4300. Again, you're welcome to visit us on our website, emtexas.com.
Welcome back to the Staying Young Show. This is Judy, and I'm here with Dr. Mark Anderson and Dr. Walter Gammon. We're the voices of Executive Medicine of Texas. You can visit us on the web at emtexas.com or download past shows by going to iTunes and searching the Staying Young Show. Actually, if you don't, if you want to just go straight to where we are on the iTunes, you can go to our website, emtexas.com, and actually go to the link for the radio show, and there's a little link straight to iTunes on there. And then you need to write down that website, emtexas.com, and the phone number, 1-800-910-3932, 1-800-910-3932, because you're going to need it for a dementia defender. That's a riddle coming up. And if we hear from you and you answer it right and we read your name on the air, you can get a free copy of the book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. We want to congratulate Ruth Carper of Pennsylvania. She's last week's winner, the Dementia Defender, so enjoy the book. All right, I want to talk a minute about the three types of prevention, because if we're going to talk about getting health care costs down, then we can't, you know, not talk about the three ways that that we can prevent things. So something called primary prevention, that actually focuses on community-wide efforts to reduce disease and disorders and such in everybody. So this is like the syntaxes, you know, the cigarette, the alcohol, and
careful.
You know, I think they should tax it so high that people can't afford it. That's what I think.
That's what happens in Canada.
Well, if you tax it too high, a black market develops and it's...
Moonshine! Oh my gosh, we were watching this show.
Okay. Apple pie, baby.
I decided we've gotten really stupid in our old age because we like this new show. What is it, Guns? What is it, Guns? God, Guns and Automobiles or something? Yeah. I'm like, are we really watching this show? And they're making moonshine.
Apple pie.
Well, talking about primary prevention, though, back in the 1970s, the public health authorities in the United States decided that the only way to get rid of cigarette smoking was through public education. They weren't going to eliminate it by, you know, focusing on the people currently smoking, but rather focusing on young people and educating them not to smoke. And it has worked. There's still smokers, but the number of smokers has dropped dramatically. And so they accepted...
The point is that taxing it doesn't stop the behavior. The educational effort had a bigger impact than the raising
of
the taxes.
Both?
And it worked. And so here's the big thing. I don't know the answer on how to do it, but right now we have like 200,000 people in jails for drugs, right? And drugs are still being used on the street and so on because it's uncontrolled. And it seems outside of, you know, religious reasons and the fact that, yeah, a certain number of people using drugs are going to be addicted to them, it seems to me that you need to control it. The government needs to do a public health campaign to control it, legislate it, tax it, and educate people. And that's the way you're going to get rid of drugs.
Hey, I saw a really neat thing on television where they're taking these soldiers that come back from Afghanistan and in these places in the Middle East and how they're going in, they're rooting out these terrorists. They take them into these small towns, or not small towns, but these parts of towns where they have drugs and gangs, and they're basically letting them go out and capture the gangs and get rid of the drugs. I thought it was brilliant. I mean, these guys are trained for this kind of stuff.
I just want to get back to Dr. Gammon, who's borderline on the edge, legalizing drugs, but to tax them, he basically implied you have to legalize them.
Don't legalize them.
Well, because they're being used anyway.
Okay.
And then we're spending zillions of dollars to have these guys in
prison.
So great. They're going to go to the grocery store, and right after they hit the beer aisle, they're going to go over to the pot aisle, and then they're going to go over to the cocaine aisle. This is ridiculous.
No, you need to put this out of your mind and put your public health hat on.
No.
Because it worked for cigarettes. It's work for cigarettes. You've gotten the rate down. That's what you have to do. But you can't educate it if you can't control it.
We need Nancy Reagan again. Let me tell you, in the 80s, her whole don't do drugs thing and made it uncool. So all the preppy kids in the 80s looked at the people doing drugs and said, oh, that's gross. We don't want to do that. And you know what? I think it worked. Then what happens? Here we hit the kids in the 90s and the 2000s are all back on drugs.
Okay, so Judy's going to go on the right-wing talk shows next. But Judy, what about secondary prevention?
Sorry, it's a soapbox. All right, so secondary prevention is really preliminary screening to detect disease.
Mammograms, pap smears.
Right. So that's really, you know, what we say you get in a physical, what you should get in a physical.
I want to go back a second to primary, just one second, because the other thing, we were talking about community health is a primary prevention, safe water, immunization programs, etc. The other individual primary prevention is like when we do our physicals and, you know, you're counseling patients about lifestyle issues, that if they make the changes now, and we're talking little things, not the classic, you know, you just need to eat less, exercise more, but little subtle changes that can lower one's risk of disease, you know, cutting the artificial sweeteners out and those kind of things. That's primary prevention on an individual basis. So
that's a good point, and I'm glad you brought that up. All right, so the last one, tertiary prevention, and this is really once you have the disease to keep it under control after it's already developed. And this is pretty much, if you ask me, this is what is going on in the United States most of the time, unless they're coming to a place like Executive Medicine of Texas. They wait, they get the disease, they're half dead, they got organ damage, and then they're saying, fix me, fix me, fix me.
And this is the most expensive form of prevention. And this is where most healthcare dollars go.
Well, this is what leads us into what we're going to start talking about, and that's concierge medicine. And why at Executive Medicine of Texas, you guys have taken a stand and said, hey, we want to get off this HMO treadmill. We want to stop doing this tertiary prevention where we're chasing after, you know, disease states that are already there and in effect and try to prevent them, catch people that are in their, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and keep them out of the hospital, keep them out of all of these dangers.
And in this regard, in the last 100 years, the lifespan of the average American's gone up 30 years. But only 5 years can be credited to medical care. The other 25 years is public health, including prevention. So that's where you can cut the expense of health care and really improve health.
Well, and I think you need to be clear that, we talked couple different interchangeable terms are used, concierge, retail medicine. In some parts of the country, access to primary care is so limited that physicians set up these concierge practices, and basically they're not getting any additional services for the fee. They're just getting access because, it's a supply and demand issue. And there's a greater demand than there is supply. They put in a fee. You have to join to be, have access. That's not what we do. Ours is, there's not a fee to join, but we do the additional testing and, you get something for it and you're going to get the primary preventative services.
Yeah, I think to make it crystal clear, the concierge portion can be added to the executive physical. So say somebody comes in for an executive physical, they're there half a day, they get all of that testing done, and then they say, I want all my primary care visits covered with you for the next year, including your cell phone and et cetera, then there's an additional fee for that. So, and it's not a membership fee. It basically is, or
it's
maybe
prepaid.
It is. It's just prepaid. It's just, hey, I can call you when I need to. I can come in when I need to. When I get the flu, you're here. When I, get a sore throat, you're here. If I have chest pains, I'm worried, you're here. And that's really what our program is. I am highly offended by these doctors, though, and I have a problem with this, where they, and I want your take on this, they charge the membership fee, so they charge them more than even what we charge for the full year, and then they bill their insurance on top of it.
Well, that's what we're talking about, the access. That membership fee just gets you access, that's it.
Yeah.
But
so
it's a supply and demand issue.
Do you think that doctor's double dipping?
Well, and it's being investigated in some states, and as to what would constitute that membership. You have to get something of value for that membership, not just access.
That music means it's time for Dementia Defender. Yes, Dementia Defender has swooped into the control room with his cape with the double D on it. Are we ready for this week's riddle, Judy?
I don't know. I'm not very good at these. Okay, go ahead.
Judy, you are a bus driver. At your first stop, you pick up 29 people. On the second stop, 19 of those 29 get off. At the third stop, 10 more people get on. Here's the question. What is the color of the bus driver's eyes? Yes, what is the color of the bus driver's eyes? Send us your answers.
Send your answers to emtexas.com, or you can call your answer in at 1-800-910-3932. If you give us the correct answer and also the explanation, then we may read your name on the air and send you a copy of the book to Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health.
You may want to go to our website to give us the answer on this one.
Is that
there
the trick?
Are hints
I think that's
there.
A trick. I think
there
that's
are
a trick.
Hints there.
But I just wanted to thank all of our listeners who have been on iTunes and have downloaded the show and sent it on to your friends. There's some great topics on the show. We talk about a number of things, and we're glad that you're passing the word along. That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to the Staying Young Show, the voices of executive medicine of Texas. For more information, visit the website emtexas.com and join us right here on the Staying Young Show as we bring you information that you can use.
We are young today, and precious time is ours to borrow. We won't let it slip away. We are young today, let's be young tomorrow.
This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. When people see my face and they compare it to my headshot a year ago, they always ask the same question. What have you done and why do you look so much younger? Well, on the Staying Young Show, we stay on top of the latest and greatest medical advancements, and that's how we heard about the newest technology on anti-aging, and that stem cell cream that's made from non-embryonic human stem cells. It's made by a company called Lifeline Skincare. And they actually work only and exclusively with stem cells. Now, stem cells cause your skin to produce young, healthy skin cells and replace the older, damaged ones. Within just 3 to 4 weeks, you'll see your skin looking smoother, brighter, and younger, just like mine. Now you can learn about this fantastic breakthrough by calling 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. That's 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you to advice on sex and your health. The book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger, and no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit stayyoungthebook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting stayyoungthebook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932.